Good morning, boys and girls. Happy Sabbath. Thank you so much for coming to Children's Story. Today, I'm going to tell you a story about when I was a young teenager. How many people, is there anyone here who's 17 years old? Raise your hand. Anybody here? When I was 17 years old, I got my driver's license, and I was so excited to get my driver's license. In fact, believe it or not, I still have my original driver's license. Here it is. You want to see it? That is my driver's license. I was so proud of it. All right. So I got my driver's license. I was so excited. And, you know, I was the oldest of four girls, and I also had a baby brother, little Richie. Anyways, but my sisters were all going to school at the church school just a couple blocks down the road, but it just went through the 10th grade, so I was homeschooling. I was doing the Home Study Institute on my own, so I had a little bit of freedom. So one day, I got an idea. Mother's Day was coming up. Did you know Mother's Day is coming up? Mother's Day is coming up in a couple of months. Anyways, Mother's Day was coming up, and I also had a part-time job at the hospital. I worked in the X-ray film library, and I had money, and I felt pretty independent. You know, I was doing school on my own. I had a job. I had some money, and Mother's Day was coming up, and I loved my beautiful mother, and I thought, I want to do something for my mother. I'm going to take the car, and I'm going to go shopping and buy my mother some special presents for Mother's Day. Now, I didn't want to go all by myself, so my younger sister, Karina, was still going to the school. And so when she came home for lunch, because it was close enough, she came home for lunch, I told her, Karina, I have this idea. Can you go with me? I said, nobody will notice. You know, this was a big school. There were like 30 kids in every class. Teacher won't even notice if you come back after lunch. Just go shopping with me, and we can get some stuff for Mom. And she's like, sure, I'll do that with you. So we got in the car, and we drove to the store, and we had so much fun. And I spent, now, this was a long time ago, I spent $70 on my mom. Okay, that was a lot of money back then. I got her some beautiful things. I got her a beautiful dress. It wasn't this dress, but it was a beautiful dress. What would Mom like? This dress. And I thought, oh, what else would Mom like? I got her some perfume. And it was, see, some perfume. Oh, it smells so good. You want some perfume? You want some perfume? Okay, you want some perfume? Here. Smell it. Doesn't it smell good? Smell it. You want some? Okay. Oh, it was beautiful perfume. Oh, and I was so, so happy to be able to buy my mom lovely things. And I also got her, a beautiful mirror, and I got her a beautiful brush to go with the mirror. I also got her one of those pretty mirror trays. I didn't have one to bring to show you. Mirror trays to put on her dresser, to put the comb in the brush and the mirror on. And I don't know, I got a whole bunch of stuff. I probably got her some beautiful flowers. Oh, I had so much fun. And the next day, actually, no, after school, my dad came home from school and my mom. And do you think that the teachers and my parents found out that my sister had skipped school because I had told her to? Yep. Now, I thought I was doing something wonderful and great. But I can assure you that I got in a heap of trouble for telling my younger sister to skip school and go to the store with me instead. So I thought I was doing something nice, but really I was being disobedient, wasn't I? You know, do we have any examples in the Bible of someone who was doing something for God, but it wasn't obedience? Can anybody think of a story? Think way back at the beginning. Adam and Eve had two sons. What were their names? Cain and Abel. That's right. What did God tell them to do? He told them to bring a lamb to sacrifice, right? But Cain said, I don't want to do that. I want to bring my fruits and vegetables because that's what I like to grow. I want to do it my way. So he brought fruits and vegetables instead of a lamb. Was God happy with him? Well, he brought God a gift, didn't he? Was God happy with his gift? He was not happy with his gift. And then we have another story. We have another story in the Bible. This story is about, this is an altar of sacrifice, and that says two brothers choose. And there's another story about a man, a king named Saul. And Saul, the prophet Samuel had told him, you just wait for me and I'll come there and we will do a sacrifice. Now, only the priest could sacrifice. And so Saul waited and waited and waited. And after a while, Saul got very, very impatient. And so what do you suppose that Saul did? There were animals and he kept waiting and waiting. And he got impatient, and finally he said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do this, because after all, sacrificing a lamb is good, right? That's what we were told to do. So he sacrificed a lamb. Was that obedience? Was that obeying God? God had told him to wait. And then when the prophet Samuel came, he was not happy with Saul, and he had a word for Saul from the Lord. And let's see, would you like to come and read something? Okay. Can you sit here? We're reading from 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23.
So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you for being king."
Whoa. Thank you. Good job. Those are some serious words. If we reject the word of the Lord, he will also have to reject us. You know, when I was buying all these beautiful things for my mom, I thought I was doing something really nice. But really, I was being disobedient, and I got in huge trouble. Let me tell you, that I never skipped school, and neither did my sisters ever again. So I would like to leave you with that thought. And now, to obey God, first we have to know what he says, right? How do we know what God wants us to do? How do we know? By reading the Bible, right? If we never pick up the Bible, if we don't come to church, if we don't come to Sabbath school, we may not even know what God wants us to do. So step one is to listen and read God's word to us, and then to obey it. Not just do something just because we think it would be a nice thing to do. We have to obey God, because that is more important than sacrifice. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day and all these beautiful children. Lord, I pray that you will please help us to always be obedient to you In all things, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can all go back to your seats. Thank you so much for being good listeners.
It is now time for the morning prayer, and you can bring the blue cards up to me. You know, I'm always amazed when I think about the fact that the God of the universe, he's so big and so mighty, and he has so many other worlds and people that are good like he is, and yet he says, come to me. And talk with me. Come boldly before the throne of grace. And we can come to him no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. God asks that we come. And so let us kneel and let us pray together.
Cast all my cares upon you. Time I don't know what to do. I'll cast all my cares.
Father, we love you. We love you with all of our hearts, and we're so thankful that we can come together and that we can worship you. We're so thankful you've given us this opportunity. You've given us a building. You've given us the ability to come today. You've given us so many good and great things, and we're so very grateful. Lord, there are many of us who have burdens on our hearts, and you have told us that we can come unto you, and we can give those to you, and you will take care of it. And we trust you, and we claim your promises. Lord, I'm holding in my hands very precious prayer requests and praises for you, and I know you know what they are. I know you can take care of them. I'm sure you're already working on them. Lord, I ask that you will be with each person here today. Lord, I pray especially for the Cowden family, for Sean and for Aliona. And I ask that you will be with those who are missing today, whether it be for illness or for some other reason, Lord. Lord, please help us. Help us that we will get ready for Jesus to come, that you will work on our hearts, that you will show us where we are not following you. Lord, because if we don't know that, we won't even try to be more like you. And we ask that you will just help us to turn our face toward you, shine the light on us, that we may see our imperfections, that we may give them to you, that you can help us to grow and to become more like you every day, that we may be, by the time that Jesus comes, that we may be ready to say, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. Lord, please come for us. Please help us to be ready. And I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Now it's time for us to worship God through giving. Our offering this morning will be for our local conference advance. And so if you have that small envelope with you, you can mark that for our local conference advance. Before our deacons are going to collect the offerings, I'm going to read this passage that was prepared for us today. March 25. I can't believe it's March 25 already. A rich young ruler ran up to Jesus, fell on his knees, and asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This story is found in Mark 10:17. There is no more background to this story, but it says Jesus looked at him and loved him. The man was concerned about his eternal life, but Jesus knew what he needed. He loved God, but loving his neighbor was just a theory. The man needed a lesson in practical Christianity. We know Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. However, to hear that Jesus had compassion on a struggling rich man speaks volumes about the heart of God. Here was a man who had it all. One can speculate that he even attended church and kept the law, but was lost. Something was missing. He did not love other men as much as he loved himself. Yet he felt that he had kept all these things. Luke contrasted the story of the rich young ruler with a blind beggar and then with Zacchaeus. All three men knew what the problem was and what the solution was. What is more amazing is that Jesus had compassion on each one of them. As believers, oftentimes we know what we are lacking. We know where the Lord could make the most good in our lives. It boils down to our application of Christianity, and that is stewardship. The Lord looks with compassion on each one while expecting a full accounting of our time, temple, talents, and treasure. May you feel the Lord's touch in your life today. May you choose to be a cheerful giver. Our deacons are now ready to collect our offerings. Shall we all stand?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
gracious, compassionate Heavenly Father, we are so happy. We're so grateful for how you blessed us. We thank you for these tithes and offerings that is brought before you this morning. I pray that you will bless this and may it will be a great blessing, especially in spreading your word and supporting our ministries. Thank you, Father, for everyone who brought the offerings today and also those who are planning to bring for the next Sabbath. May you will continue to work in each of the hearts of your people that will be supportive not only in our local church, but also for the work worldwide. Thank you, Father, for your great love and for accepting our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's good to be here this morning and sing for the Lord. The song we are going to sing this morning is in Rwandese language, a language from Rwanda. As you can see, this group, most of them are our brothers and sisters, refugees from Congo, but they speak the Rwandese language. So my family has to struggle to sing that language. But when I ask them the translation of the song and a reading, unfortunately we don't have it on a PowerPoint, but I'll read it for you. I was very touched with the struggles and troubles they've been through, and they are still going through these struggles in their life adjusting here in America. And when I read that translation on a verse number one, the song, I say, there is a day I will rest from the troubles of this world. When Jesus returns, there will be no more crying. And the chorus saying, when I get to heaven, I will see my beloved ones who went forth. I will be changed from the mortal body and put on the immortal or eternal body. And the second verse says, in this world, I lose my friends. I lose my relatives. I know there is a day I shall overcome through Jesus all these tears. And the last stanza, when I come to the end of this battle, I will sing a grateful song and say, thank you, Jesus, for the victory over Satan whom you defeated. The title of the song is There Is a Day.
Since I look yongera kurira hari umunsi nzaruhuka imiruho nurira muri isi uko Yesu azaba agarutse ntabwo nzongera kurira ningera mu ijuru nzabona abanjye naburiye mu isi zaburuye mu birumbabaza nandikwe undi udapfa ningera mu ijuru nzabona abanjye naburiye mu isi zaburuye mu birumbabaza nandikwe undi udapfa isimburira mishuti isimburira mabavandimwe zine zako hari umunsi nazibuka yamarira isimburira mishuti isimburira mabavandimwe zine zako hari umunsi nazibuka yamarira ningera mu ijuru nzabona abanje naburiye mu isi zaburuye mu birumbabaza nambikwe undi udapfa ningera mu ijuru nzabona abanjye naburiye mu isi zaburuye mu birumbabaza nambikwe undi udapfa ninagiza uru rugamba zaririmbi ishimwe vugani Yesu warakoze kuko nsindi umubisha nindagiza uru rugamba zaririmbi ndirimbo ishimwe vugani Yesu warakoze kuko nsindi umubisha ningera mu ijuru nzabona abanje naburiye mu isi zaburuye mu birumbabaza nambikwe undi udapfa ningera mu ijuru nzabona abanje naburiye mu isi zaburuye mu birumbabaza nambikwe undi udapfa nambikwe undi udapfa nambikwe undi udapfa nambikwe undi udapfa
It's so beautiful, isn't it? Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. It says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong."
What a blessing it is to be a part of this church family. You know, the more we integrate the various cultures we have here in this church, the better off we are. That's what heaven is going to be like. Now, we have a message that is going around the world. As you know, I've been speaking on about the three angels' messages. I haven't gotten to the third angel yet. It will be the third week from now. I will get to the third angel. Because next week I'll be in Newton, and then the following week we have Communion Sabbath, and then I will be able to speak on the third angel. You know, this message is going around the world, and one of the ways that this message is being presented is through television and radio. We have a radio station. How many of you have actually listened to our radio station? Okay, I want to wait to make sure I see all the hands that have actually listened to the station, 101.7 FM. Okay, that's good. How many of you have not yet listened to it, but you would like to try it? I see some more hands. Excellent, excellent. Well, there is, you hardly have an excuse for not listening to it because you can just about get it all through the city. So I look forward to hearing reports from all of you about what you hear there. We want feedback when it comes to programming, etc. Now, today we have a radio emphasis Sabbath. It's kind of something that was decided weeks ago that we were going to have, but during this past week is when we decided this is going to be it, this Sabbath. And Michael has taken the initiative. He is our radio announcer, as well as the one that has been a driving force behind this, although we prefer to think that there is a driving force behind him, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who wants us to get this message out. And so this has been in works for years, and Michael will be the speaker today. He has a specific challenge. I'm not going to talk about that right now in detail, but he has a challenge to all of us. But he will share more with us right now about the radio station, and the things pertaining to it. Michael Wilson, please come forward and share with us your message for this morning.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath. I'm not going to move around a whole lot, so this will be just fine. Do we have something working up there yet? Well, I don't know this screen, but we're going to get out of it and see what we get. First of all, thank you, Esther, for whatever version you read from the scripture this morning. I was prepared with my phone to read the amplified version of that scripture. Thank you. Whatever version you used, I appreciate that. That's one thing. One thing that the pastor mentioned about the three angels' messages is that he is covering each one individually, and we have the benefit today to possibly hear something about all of them because we are broadcasting from a radio station the three angels' messages, which would be all three.
The wrong cable.
Pull the other cable. He's got that on the screen. Am I right? Oh. We'll get there. I was going to mention at some point this morning that it was brought to my attention just briefly that there we go. That I did not realize this until this morning. And thank you, Nick, wherever you are. I had a vision of radio when we had the opportunity here, and I'll get into that. But I did not realize that the past years of exposure and experience with Three Angels Broadcasting gave me information I didn't have to research, that information I already knew, and I just feel very blessed that we had the opportunity here to do this as a project for radio and to also have the special emphasis Sabbath this morning. Before I begin, I would like to have a prayer, if you will just bow your heads with me.
Our kind and loving Father in heaven, I thank you for the Sabbath once again, and I thank you for the privilege that you've given us to meet here. I pray for your blessing on what you would like to have said and what you would like to have heard today, and that you would guide
Having a special emphasis for radio is something that we kind of need to do because some of us don't probably know enough of the details about where we've been in this process and how we got here. But also having a special emphasis for radio is to tell more about radio itself, because we all have a radio in some fashion, in the car, in our homes, and there's a lot of choices out there. There's a lot of stations. There's a lot of choices of what to listen to. But how did it all happen as far as radio, and how is it that we have it, that we can use it? When you listen to 101.7 FM, what's behind that? What's the background of that, of our station, background of what comes to us to broadcast, and what's the background of radio itself? When you hear Jay Christian identify 3ABN Radio, what do you think is going on? Where is this all coming from, and where's the background for it? And I will diverge just briefly that I hadn't really thought about it, but as you listen, some of you may hear my announcement that's the recording that plays the top of the hour announcement that we have to do legally. But I've caught it a few times. There's some other times on there you're going to hear my voice. I don't know if anybody has. Nick says he's heard it. There's a scripture. There's other things that are on there. At this point, all of those things are coming from 3ABN because I recorded those 9 years ago. And they're still playing and rerunning different things for different people, and I hear my voice on the radio, which is really strange in a way. But I realize that, of course, it's something that's being used, and all of us here will have the opportunity to participate in sharing your voice as well, like I've mentioned before. Radio itself began as a patent by Marconi, and there's others that do claim credit for that, but the amazing fact with this, if I may share that, is that he is also given credit for saving hundreds of lives when he wasn't even present at the location. Doug Basher likes to do the amazing fact thing. Marconi invented the telegraph initially, the wireless tech or wireless messages, and it was because of his invention that lives were saved from the Titanic, but he wasn't on the ship. And that is just an unusual thing that comes out of history, as I've read about radio and other things like that. We have a picture here from, I presume, the 1930s. In 1929, Elder H.M.S. Richards, Sr., an Adventist evangelist, was having tabernacle meetings. He had two churches, I understand, that he was giving nightly meetings. And he kept saying that he felt he should go ahead and get on radio. He should be speaking on the radio. And there were a number of people that kept giving him trouble. Well, if you think you should, if God wants you to, why don't you do it? So he reached out and stepped out in faith and worked out of an office that was a renovated chicken coop, as it turns out. And there were members of the church who donated eyeglasses and teeth with gold fillings, and they bought airtime on KGER in Long Beach. He was initially beginning on another station where he had bought time for a half-hour program called Family Ministry. And then in 1933, as he was getting going several years, there were over 3,800 religious radio programs. And so he could see the unlimited potential for this. He was one voice, though, on one station, and he was buying airtime by the hour. At the time, some critics in the church said that he had succumbed to entertainment and was using the devil's tool. And that's a quote. I'm relying on a few notes so I don't forget everything, because there's just too much here. I will not be here till dark, because I could tell you more as we get along. Others who saw radio as nothing less than a marvelous gift given by God to speed the progress of worldwide evangelism. They had seen and caught the vision of what could happen. In 1937, the name was changed to Voice of Prophecy, and the first Voice of Prophecy broadcast, which is what Elder Richards was famous for, well, so well known for, it was the second national or network, large network radio broadcast program. On January 4, 1942, it was a month after Pearl Harbor, it became the first coast-to-coast network on the Mutual Broadcasting Network to go across the country on 89 stations. So through the years, the Voice of Prophecy broadcasts were marked by an opening theme song, Lift Up the Trumpet, performed by the King's Herald's Quartet. I grew up with this. How many of us remember, have heard the old programs? There's a little minute video here.
Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, you pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again.
This is the voice of prophecy, a voice crying in the wilderness of these modern days. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Coming again, coming again, Jesus is coming again.
From our Voice of Prophecy studios in Los Angeles, California, we welcome you to this half hour of inspiration and music with the King's Heralds, Del Delker, Brad Braley, and our speaker, H.M.S. Richards, a Seventh-day Adventist minister.
That is memorable. Some of us that have heard that before, it sounds good on these speakers as well. A month after he began the broadcast nationwide on the Mutual Broadcasting System in February 1942, he had had so many requests for copies of his sermons that he began the first national Adventist Bible Correspondence School. And he called it the Bible School of the Air. It was later changed to the Discover Bible School. There have been scores of baptisms that resulted from this Bible school. And as of 2010, or in the year of 2010, 7 years ago, they actually have baptized, as a result of this, the 1,000,000th graduate from that Bible school, which is just a huge testimony to what one man started and so many others followed, and those others that have worked with that. Until the early 1950s, the broadcasts were produced live, so mispronounced names and singer mistakes went out over the airwaves just as they were done. They were live, unedited. By 1980, the Voice of Prophecy broadcast each Sunday went out to 700 stations around the world. I do remember meeting him in a camp meeting in Nebraska once, and he was just what you picture him to be. It was great to hear him speak and to see him, meet him. At this point, there's one other video that we're going to, audio that we're going to do. I will say that he had said that he is quoted as saying that anyone who should get time on the radio, anyone who could. And I think that's what brought about a lot more.
Our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless everyone who listens to the broadcast. May Thy Holy Spirit guide us into all truth and lead us in the way of life. We ask in Jesus' name.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God.
O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who bow before Thee, near to the heart of God.
Amen.
call to spread the gospel to the world. In Matthew 24:14, it says, "And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come." And that is something that he inspired many others, and I think it helps each one of us to think about the things that have gone on in the past, such as this. I do want to mention to you there is something tangible that I will put in your hands that you will have today. I just want to make sure you're aware of that. There's something that I will have for you as well. Not that I will forget, but I want you to be aware that it's coming. In 1971, Adventist World Radio was founded, which was done through shortwave primarily, my understanding. I don't know a lot of the details of it, except that in 1971, it began leasing shortwave airtime in Portugal and became Adventist World Radio. Here's Elder Richards. I meant to put that up there. This is the logo for Adventist World Radio, or part of the logo, and they have progressed since 1971 to having their 40th anniversary in 2011, but in between that time, they have added stations, they've added languages. They were on their 25th anniversary in 1996, broadcasting in 45 languages, which surpassed the number of languages that Voice of America reaches out with. One of the largest things that they have going on, this is in the Caymans. This is one of the stations that is broadcasting in the Caribbean. Here we have, I think they call it a curtain antenna, stretched between towers. Anyway, this is on the island of Guam, which reaches a long way. This is an actual confirmation of reception, verified from Malaysia, where that reaches from that station there as well. This was during the anniversary a few years ago that they had that come up. A number of things that they have done, they've reached so many people. They have a 229-foot tower in Guam, and they are reaching almost 100 languages. So they're reaching the world, and this is something that you've heard about before, but this is just the expansion of radio itself, of where it's gone since the early days. Thinking of shortwave is something that works in some parts of the world better than others, and what we hear on AM or FM is very limited. Where Elder Richards was buying a half hour of radio time, things have changed over the years. Okay. There's the one picture they had put together for the 40 years. Now this is going to become more personal. There's a reason why we need to understand what God has done in the past and how he has brought us to where we are and what's behind the station that we have, that we're broadcasting from. We are receiving a signal from 3ABN, Three Angels Broadcasting Network, 3ABN Radio, that we rebroadcast, and we have the opportunity to add our own programming on there. But it hasn't always been that way. It hasn't always been the resource, shall we say. And there's a little history behind that, and it begins with a woman named Goldie. Goldie was struck with polio when she was young. She had three boys, and she was expecting her fourth child, a son. And she had been exposed to the truth of the Bible and the Adventist faith through someone in the church where she lived, and she and her husband were musicians. And they chose to leave what they were doing within the world and give their attention to what God would have them to do. But when she was struck with polio, she made the Lord a promise in prayer. She said, "If you'll heal me, I will serve you the rest of my life and raise my children to serve you." And the way her husband, Tom, told the story was that he could see changes within minutes in her, and her health improved. And she kept that promise, and she lived a full, long life. I never have met her, but I know who she is. She kept her promise, raised those four boys and a daughter that came along later, but this fourth son was named Danny Lee. And whenever the church doors were open, that family was there. They were very involved in the church. She played the organ or piano, I think it was piano, at the church. And they were all very musical. They recorded things just for fun, all of them did. Now, according to his teachers, this Danny Lee was an average student. He goes so far as to say he just barely made it through high school. And when he graduated from high school, he knew college was out of the question because they didn't have money for that. So he went into construction, carpentry work, with his brother, older brother, who was doing it, building houses. Parts of this story are long, and I'm going to try to just name the key points of it to tell what the background is to what we're blessed with today. One night when he was 33, he had been watching local Christian television that was available to him where he lived over the air, but he was very disturbed by what he heard. There were things that were strongly misrepresenting the character of God, and he said, "Lord, this isn't right. Where are we, the Adventists, in the media? There's just a program here or there for a little bit of purchased airtime, and the biggest being Voice of Prophecy on the radio for an hour a week. It isn't right that God's character is misrepresented and we as a people aren't doing anything with the truth. Where are we, the Adventists, in the media?" He had trouble sleeping that night, and in the early morning hours, he heard a voice that spoke to him and said, "I want you to build a television station that will reach the world with the undiluted Three Angels messages, one that will counteract the counterfeit." Now, Danny Shelton didn't know what that meant, but he knew what he was asked to do, and he said, "But Lord, I don't know anything about broadcasting. I don't know how to do this." And the voice said, "But I do." And then he said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go forward if you supply every need. And God will take those who are considered foolish in the world and use them if they're willing. Those who don't have all the credentials, shall we say, in some cases sometimes." He was very excited at this point. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know anything about broadcasting. He knew how to sing. He knew how to build houses. But he knew a pastor who had television in his church, and he went and talked to Hal and Molly Steenson at their church that wasn't too far away, and trying to learn how this worked. And he shared with Pastor Hal. He said, "I was given this dream. I was supposed to, to explain what he was told." And Hal said, "I'm getting this funny feeling," he said, "that maybe I'm supposed to give you my television equipment, my studio for my church. I mean, my cameras and control from there." He says, I've been told not to sell it, but I'm getting that feeling." And he did. His church voted, and they said, "Yes, we'll give it to them when they're ready for it." It turned out they didn't need it, because it was not what they needed for the 3ABN, as it turned out to be. But it was the promise from someone to go. He was willing to go. Well, they needed a place to build a station. And there was a literature evangelist, a call porter, who sold a book to a woman who came to a Wednesday night prayer meeting. You never know who's going to come to prayer meetings sometimes. Fonda Summers came with Goldie Shelton to prayer meeting and heard Danny telling this little bit of a story of what he was impressed to do, and that he needed a place to they were looking for a piece of property to set this up on and all that. And she went home, and a few days later, Goldie called her son Danny and said, "Isn't it wonderful?" And Danny didn't know about it. She said, "Well, Fonda lives out there by Thompsonville, and she has some land she's willing to give you." It turned out that Fonda Summers had years before, and her husband, before he passed away, had this dream that at the back of their property, they had 6 acres, a narrow strip, 6 acres, or maybe 8 acres, I guess it was total. And they had seen a fence around it and beautiful cattle coming out of it. And she didn't know what it meant, But she said, she had prayed to the Lord, "I'd like to help them out." She went on to that prayer meeting, and she said, "I'd like to help them, but I don't have anything. I can't do anything." And the Lord told her, or asked her, what is this you have in your hand? She says, I don't have anything but just a little bit of land. And I really, my kids wouldn't probably like it if I gave them the front part where the house is, so I can give them a couple acres in the back. When it came time to put the dish up so they could do this broadcasting, the company that came and picks sites normally will tell people, we'll find a spot, you go buy that land. They came in, there was a corner on that 2-acre spot that was perfect for hitting all the satellites in space at the time. It was something that God uses every single piece along the way to build that faith. She was a member of the Christian church. Hal was charismatic. Charismatic church, I'm not sure if I know there was a denomination associated with it. Clarence also knew from this television station where he had sung before that there was an engineer there he could ask about it. And this is a Baptist engineer who takes him aside. He says, I'm not sure why I'm telling you this. But he said, after Danny said, I think I'm supposed to build this station. I mean, I know I'm supposed to build this station because God has told me this. And Clarence says, well, you don't know anything about this, but I'm impressed. I'm supposed to tell you that I think there's a spot up by Thompsonville in that area that you could build a satellite link, uplink, that would reach the world. And at the time, Danny didn't know what satellite uplink meant. He didn't know what it was, but it went on and on. And as they went on and progressed to build, there was a couple from Tennessee in the middle here, the McCulpins, who came from Tennessee on a mission trip. They were going up north, and they stopped off. They were very simple, were very careful with their money, and they were mostly retired, and they just wanted to see what was going on, and they said, Danny said, sure, come watch, and it's fine. And they were digging footings for a building, for their building. And the McCulpins were watching this and kept saying, now, when you get done, you have the money to pour this foundation and get the... No, we don't have the money for that. We're just using what we have. If we don't use what we've already been given, how can the Lord give us more? And there's so many details of that story. I mean, you know, $5 worth of diesel in a can at a time and other things. Supplying the need when the need is there. The day they needed the money to put the road back there, it was in the mailbox. It was just, it's just one of those things. The McCulpins were so impressed that they stayed overnight at one of their houses. And when the McCulpins were ready to leave, they, at one in the night and one in the morning, each one of them gave Danny a check. Each one of them. We feel impressed to help you with this project. And Danny had said about what it was going to cost to shell in the building before it got to winter. And he said, we think it's going to be about $50,000 to incorporate the things we have to incorporate in the building, pour the concrete for the footings. Well, each of the McCulpins separately wrote them a check for $25,000. And then as they left, they said, don't cash these. There's no money to back them up in the bank. But it was years later. Well, I'm not sure how many, but it was a few years later that he learned they went home and mortgaged their farm. And when they reported a year later back to what had happened, she said, we had the best year. They were on the side, real estate, selling real estate on the side, and they had a booming year. He said, year later, we were better off than we were before we gave that money. So the Lord provided for what his cause was there. There's so many other stories. He went to an ASI meeting in Big Sky, Montana, and nobody gets up there and speaks without being on the program. But there was such a clamor for him that the people organizing it said, just want to let you know, but we like your story. It sounds good, but we don't have you on the program. You're not going to speak. And then Friday afternoon when they're up in the mountains, this horrible rainstorm came in, and nobody could go up on the lifts up to the mountains and look around, and they had nothing to do with these thousands of people, 3,000 people in this auditorium. And so they asked him to speak. And he told his story. And when he got done, he was talking to some people, and he got back to his little spot of the table where Kay Kuzma had a booth. Some of you know who Kay Kuzma is. And an author and teacher. And he came back there, and he said, or somebody came to him and said, you know, there's a man that just left here that got one of your cassette tapes because he had recorded some music. And they gave me a check for $10,000. And Danny says, we're not charging enough for our tape, so I need to go find that guy. And as it turned out, when he got to the end of the day and he was talking to his brother back home, his brother said, you know, we just got a bid to pour the concrete floor in our building, and it's $10,000. Before they call, I will answer. Isn't that what he says? As they went forward, God supplied every need. And there are just so many examples. Danny was at a meeting of Adventists that were broadcasting or were doing all kinds of outreach. Mainly was radio. There might have been some television a little bit, but local, doing some local things. And, well, what are you going to do? And Danny said, well, the Lord's impressed me to build a television network that will reach the world with undiluted three angels' messages, one that will counteract the counterfeit. Do you know what that means? Well, not really, not yet. You know how much it's going to cost? Not yet. And then this host at this meeting said, you know, the Adventist pie is only so big. Somebody like you comes along, it takes a little bit away from everybody else. Danny responded, she says, you know, I think if you look in the refrigerator, there's more pies in there. And that's where people outside the Adventist circle come in. That's where people in our community can come in. We have so much blessing from the past of what the Lord has done to encourage us. And each one of these things just builds and builds and builds. Hal and Molly were not Adventists. I'll mention them again later. But they and Clarence, all these people who were brought into this church, into this message, into this movement, because of this, all this activity, there were so many people, so many lives that were touched. It was 2 years and 10 days from when he had this calling to build the station that they went on the air. It was 2 years. And they were first on the air for 2 hours a day, or 2 hours a week maybe, and then 2 hours a day. But by the spring, within a few months, they were expanding, and they had gone to 24 hours a day. Now, I know it's important to tell about what Three Angels Broadcasting is television and radio, but why am I telling you so much about television? Part of it is because the programs that are on television also have the audio that we can listen to. It's the same, some of the same programs, and I'll have a couple little pieces on that. But it's something that is behind what we get now on radio. God brought this message through that movement, through that ministry to us. It's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. In all the inhabited continents of the world, and they use 8 satellites, there may be more. I don't keep track of that maybe anymore, but they're hitting with multiple satellites in multiple languages. There are multiple languages of broadcasting besides a production center, strictly just in Russia. 3ABN uses the audio for radio, and they create a lot of programs just for radio. And all this out of a cornfield in Illinois, what used to be a cornfield. But, you know, there wasn't 3ABN radio at the beginning. There was just television, but there was a vision to do more with it, to reach others. And she would say, you can remember my name by saying, there's a booty, because that's how she spelled her name, Teresa Boot. She was from Sarnia, Ontario, and she was watching 3ABN on her big satellite. Her whole family was, as a matter of fact. And they were looking for a church, and they were confused about what was truth, and they were about to be baptized and joining a Pentecostal church, if I recall. And they just didn't feel right about it. But they were praying about what they should do. And one evening after hours, Danny Shelton goes back to his office. He doesn't really know why. but he feels he's supposed to go there, and he opens up his desk drawer, and there's an envelope with a letter from Teresa and Frank Boot. And, oh, I meant to call them. I meant to write to them. I better call them. It's been 3 weeks or however long it's been. So he gets the number off of there and calls their house. When the phone answers, when the phone is answered, it's a child's voice. It's a young daughter. I don't know how young, but old enough to know exactly what was going on and what to say. She wasn't 3 years old or something like that. But Danny Shelton's calling this number, and he says, are your parents home? Yes, but they're busy. They're in the other room with the door shut. And he says, well, you can just tell them that it's Danny Shelton calling from 3ABN. And I understand that they're not to be disturbed. She had said they're not to be disturbed. That's what they've told me. And then when she hears that it's Danny Shelton, she says, oh, I think they'll want to talk to you. And she puts the phone down. And Danny, in a few minutes, hears this loud scream in the background. And Teresa Boot comes to the phone, and she says, we had just been praying for an hour, and we stopped, and we said, we don't know what to do. And she said, we said, if only God would let Danny Shelton call us and tell us what we got to do. And then the phone rings, and it's him. Needless to say, they became members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. She came to Southern Illinois, and she spearheaded and made happen 3ABN Radio. If you've ever heard of the ACTS, A-C-T-S, method of praying, I learned that from her. And it's something that she was a very spiritual leader, as well as happy, funny, as you can see. But she was the one that made that happen. And she had her own story, where God intervened in her life. I think we all have a story of some kind. I don't guess I'll say what year it was, but there was a year that I went to a little church in the country, and there wasn't a pastor that day, and they decided they'd play a video. And keep in mind, I hadn't heard of 3ABN before. And it's this tape right here. It's the 3ABN miracle story. And they played that tape. Well, it's 114 minutes long, plus the other things. You know what happens when noon comes? Okay, it's time for lunch. And they turn it off right in the middle of the story, the mending broken people miracle story of 3ABN. I said, I got to hear the rest of this. So as soon as lunch was over, I went back out, and I listened to the rest of it, borrowed the tape, took it home, made a copy. I since ended up getting a copy of it. But it is something that I couldn't believe, the number of stories where God supplied every need. And it's not just the need of money, but money is a big part of it. People that have money, famous people in the world, are they blessed because they have money? No. But when God provides it, when it's needed, then you know that it's from Him. That's when it really counts. I caught a vision of what God had done there, and I realized that this was not only good programming, but it was a minister reaching out to other things. It was his miracle story. Something maybe only happens to other people, maybe not. I shared that video with a lot of people at a lot of times, and have them come over after church, have lunch, watch this. And I was able to get a dish and watch it at home. About 3 years ago or so, pastor from Kansas City, Mike Fenton, was here and spoke. And he was the pastor that came at one point where I was there, and he provided that dish. It was an extra one somehow. Anyway, I got it because of him that I was able to actually watch 3ABN. Most 10-foot mesh dishes. And I was really impressed with what I saw, and some things just made me wonder. I thought, well, that's not how you ought to act if you're actually sharing the Word of God. You shouldn't make any jokes beforehand. You shouldn't have this lighthearted feel. But of course, at the time, I didn't realize, no, this is who you're reaching. It's not in a church. You know, it's something that that people realize you're human, I guess. But I was watching it, and I was very impressed with it. And then, you know, some stories are good if they're true, and some stories are just good because, well, they may not be true, but they give a good illustration. The best kind of stories have both. A story that's totally true and has a good lesson and illustration from it. In November of the second year after I'd been watching 3ABN, there was a series that came on. A pastor was presenting more of a revival series than anything else. And at one point, it was said on the air that it was a line in the sand even for the employees at 3ABN. As I watched it, it was really impressive. It would come on because they would do it live or do it in the evening, make it into a tape. They broadcast it at 10 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock in the morning. You could get a repeat of it. Well, as it turned out, I was not working. My job had ended a couple months before, and I had a bonus that kept me from having to go look for work for a little while. And so I would watch every one of them. And it was on that big dish. And it made a big difference. And at this point, we have a 44-second video. We can run that. This is one of what I saw.
Jesus said unto her, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
And welcome again to another Pentecost 2000 here at the 3ABM Network in Voss Auditorium. We'd like to welcome you wherever you are joining with us. Tonight we have a very special subject, signs of Christ's return. From the Word of God, God pointed out specific things that would take place just before.
Just an introduction. There were a series of them every night. They would do live programs on the weekend that were actually live Friday night, I believe. Yes, Friday night, and then on Sabbath morning and Sabbath evening, Sabbath night. And then I believe Sunday night was also live. But that is the Pentecost 2000 series that was broadcast there. And because I didn't have to worry about scheduling it, it seemed like a good idea to go, this is my chance, go visit 3ABN. No schedule hindrances. Actually see some live programming, but actually go and hear this in person. They were saying on there, please come and be part of the audience. And so what did I do? Just drove up there. Went up there on a Thursday, got a motel room in Benton, Illinois. I'd watch the tape. I knew where it was. I'd just go to Benton, and I'd go down the highway, and I'll see a sign, you know. And it worked out pretty good. That part worked out pretty good. Go up there and see some live programming and go and take a tour. I will have to say this is not the building I first went to because I didn't pay attention, and the original building was being used heavily, but they didn't have room, so this is the newer building. This is a very recent photo. I'm not sure. They have a drone over there. Somebody does. But this is fairly current, I believe. Anyway, went and got a tour. And the most interesting thing, thinking back on it, is that when I got a tour of the original building, there was this part that was under construction, and they said, this is where 3ABN Radio is going to be. And I got to see the studios and just kind of planted another seed, I think. And it was interesting to see some of the people that I'd heard and seen. And it was also nice to see that all the people at 3ABN's Broadcasting Network are just as real in person as you would think they would be. They just seem to be so sincere and honest and not putting on a pretense. And yes, Danny wears blue jeans to the office, I'm sure, sometimes. Because he's got horses, and he just does that. A couple horses, I guess. Anyway, went there for this tour and gone through the whole thing and seen this building. Well, the part that was is pretty much like that, I guess. And I was in the lobby, and it was about noon on a Friday. Well, everybody goes home at noon on Friday. You know, we get ready for Sabbath. This is December. This was the 17th of December. Or maybe the 16th. I think it was the 16th of December. Anyway, they're all leaving. Just kind of standing there. I don't remember talking to somebody in particular, but through a doorway on the side, actually it was that side, through a doorway over there from what this little room was that it looked like, it, looking back on it, but it was where the finance department was and the call center was. It was just in the finance office there. Danny Shelton came out. I'd never seen him, never met him. I knew who he was because I'd seen him on TV. But he walked up to me, and he asked me three questions. And I'm still going to have to hang on to something because it still affects me after this many years. But he walked up to me, and he said, "Who are you, where are you from, and what do you do?" And later he said, you know, I really didn't need to ask that. I'm not sure why he did, but he said I didn't really need to. But I told him my name, where I was from, that I wasn't employed, and what kind of work I'd been doing. And he said, that's all I need to know. He said, the Holy Spirit's impressed me. You're supposed to be here at 3 a.m. And why that is significant is because I had prayed before I went to 3 a.m. And some of the exact words I remember very clearly. But this was a prayer that was silent, that only God knew. And this is what I said. I'm going to go there this weekend, and if you're using 3ABN, and if you can use me there, I'll go there. When I go, I won't take a resume, and I won't tell anybody about my prayer. But if you want me to go to work there, send somebody to me. Maybe I'm hard-headed or something, but it took one person to come to me that I believed it. And this was on a Friday night. Enjoyed the weekend, started work on Tuesday morning. And it was a life-changing, faith-building experience. This is the way God works in the past for what we can use now. I believe that experience helped me in another way, in other ways that helped me through the years that followed and continues to come back through times that are difficult, things that are uncertain or unclear. I started out in the finance department because they had a need. It was the end of the year. A lot of donations coming in December, year-end donations. And so I started in there, and of course, I had managed hotels, motels, and I'd handled a lot of stuff. And it was just something to help with, you know. And I was just there to do whatever I was asked to do. So I worked in the finance department, and I'd process donations, and I'd put them in the computer, and people would get their receipts. The envelopes always said something on the front about what it was. I would make a note of the check and the amount or whatever it was, cash. But you always had to put it in the computer under a name. Well, there was an envelope that I got, and normally you don't open these things. Danny gets them all first. Danny and Molly get them first, and then it goes on to wherever it's written on. It's going to go next, if it's going to the prayer team or whoever it's going to, the pastors. Well, this one didn't have a name on it, and I had to open it and see if I could figure it out. And there was a handwritten letter in there from a woman asking for prayer and had some kind of technical issues with how she couldn't see it like she used to get the signal. She was asking for prayer that they could get to be able to watch it again. And she asked for prayer for her children. And she had donated in cash, $2.37. These people that support the work of the Lord with whatever they're impressed to do. Just for myself, I ran a copy of that letter. And right now I can't tell you exactly where it is, but I have a copy of that, and it's good to run across that once in a while. Later on, there were things that were done, that were donated. You've probably heard of that before. There was an accordion sitting in D. Hildebrand's office that had been there for some time, and I put it on eBay and sold it for $1,350. It was a nice accordion, but, you know, take it in the studio, set up in the background, take a picture and put it on there. We had somebody donated a 36 Ford pickup, and it looked awful, but it would run. Somebody bought it off eBay from Texas for $5,000. This is what began the ministry of more of the donation center, what they do now, because we were doing more and more stuff like that. But God asked Fonda Summers, what is this you have in your hand? And ever since then, people would have things and they would donate things. What is this in your hand that you have? What encases? It may be yourself. It may be the land. It may be funds that you have. Whatever it is that God has entrusted you with, that's what you have. He doesn't ask you to do something that somebody else will be asked to do, you know. I was, when they got more going in the trust department, I was made the trust services administrator and went through training for that, and I had special projects I did, and I can't say that it was not a good thing. I think it was a good thing in some ways to have the personal connection, because I got to see the heart of Danny Shelton maybe more than some others did, because I would do projects he asked me to do or something. Different things that happened. I mean, I was in his home and went on a trip with him, and children were on Kids Time program at one point. There's my son, who's about 7, the opening of the Kids Time program. It was an advantage in a way to see this, where you weren't just somebody that worked there. The 3ABN Today program was the 3ABN Presents program prior, and this is a more recent one. I'm not sure if it's this year. I think it was. The credits of it was for this year. But the 3ABN Today set and program has changed a little bit over the years. But there were a lot of times that things would happen that if someone would go on, I could talk to Danny about it. Or if he needed something done, I was just the person that did things, other things out of the finance department when I wasn't doing other things. I didn't do process donations after several years there, something like that. But the way it affected many people was what they heard. And the director or manager of Kids Time, Brenda Walsh, had a personal story she shared at camp meeting one year. She had been there getting ready to do her program, and she was in the checkout line of a store, and there was a cashier that made a comment about what are you getting this for, what are you doing, and, you know, and what, all the stuff you were getting. And she explained it was 3ABN, and she was getting ready for the camp meeting for the children's program. And this cashier said, oh, I watch 3ABN myself, and I've always wanted to know more about that. And so Brenda personally invited her to come to camp meeting, and she did. And she joined the church there at Thompsonville. As time went on, it was the influence of the people that were affected by that. God will take and use whatever we have. Zechariah 4:10 says, who has despised the day of small things? It doesn't take the people who are gifted and most expected to do well. Years later, after Danny graduated from high school, he was asked to come back and be the speaker at an event honoring him as someone who had brought great promise and notoriety, whatever, to the high school where it was. And when he went to give his speech and get his little award there in their little town. I mean, it's not a big town, probably 12,000 people. But the person who was directing traffic and parking the cars was the senior class president of his class, voted most likely to succeed. And here is someone who barely says, on his own admission, says, I barely made it through high school, and he's getting this award as someone who has brought good to the community. And he has, and he's been well known for that. Besides my son on there, and Michelle was on there, Michelle did a little bit of TV programming with Brenda, with Linda Shelton in the kitchen. And the story, the brief story of what I mentioned about how I came to 3ABN, I was interviewed, and that was on television. The 3ABN Today program was the program that I was on. And it was something that I got to share that, but it was something where it was more more question and answer. And so some of the things were left out, and some things I'll leave out now. Kay Kuzma wrote a book, and it's called Mending Broken People, the 3ABN Story, which is this book here. And I'm in the book, got my picture in there. It's just one of these things that you see how God has worked, and all these things are part of what builds your faith for that. But this story isn't about me. These are my experiences that have brought me through some things to where I am today, and why I feel such a commitment and such a vision for reaching out. And radio just seems to be the fit, because I've just always been drawn to doing that. When I was at 3ABN initially, and they opened the radio, got the radio going, the broadcasting was done in ways that it isn't available now, because we now have new stations such as ours, but that hadn't happened for many, many years before, I believe, 2001, when FCC opened the window like we got in 2013, or 2014, when it happened. And so I saw this happen. I knew the people who were doing certain things, and was aware of the process in some ways. And so I just feel like, and without even realizing it, being in the right place has helped me to absorb enough of the process, not just the spirit of it. And at the end of that program, the Today program interview, and this was, I knew it was, he was going to ask me, but he said, do you have a closing thought? When I came back at the very end of the program, and I did have a thought, and I thought I could find the video clip of it, but I didn't find it. I have a copy VHS tape somewhere. But basically what I said was that God's given Danny a story to tell, and he's told it. He's told the miracle story. It continues to go. But he's also got a story for each one of us. And he wants us to have that story, to share that story. I still believe that. That's what I said. He wants us to share a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, bringing those others to him. There were a lot of people that I met, people that are well-known, met or heard or saw in some cases, but they're all very fine, impressive people. Any of the names you've ever seen in Adventist media, they were there at some point in time. But they're fine people. You've got Wintley Phipps and Doug Batchelor and Mark Finley, and Harry Singers came there, and Sir Silas Atapari, and from New Guinea, Papua New Guinea. And the ones that the Lord is using that you don't know actually made more of an impression. And then we're not going to have time to, or want to do this. There's a video musical, if you ever want to know where to find her. Charmaine Yates came from New York City with a group. And she had a voice to sing, but she also had a testimony. And I still remember her. And there's so many others. There's Sean Moonstra. Well, I guess he's well known too, but he was kind of new, I think, at the time. He made a very good impression. He was so humble and honest. Sean Moonstra was a speaker of few words sometimes, but what he said, you remembered. Four years ago, when we learned about this window that was opening for 3ABN radio broadcasting to be a possibility with FCC licensing, I think it was providential to have already an idea of what this all involved and do it. And so a light kind of went on. And in the mail, when I got this, this is actually the one. I still had it in that folder. I got this in the mail. It's the World Magazine, 3ABN World Magazine. But this is the one that had the story. How do you take advantage of the FCC window when windows open? And it's something that gave us a pathway, basically, with their support in some cases, to reach our community. The biblical truth, sharing the three angels' messages, all three of them, right from radio, right from here. I was excited for this opportunity. You can probably understand that. I caught the vision for that. I hope many of you have, too, for what we can do. This church and this church board went forward by faith to make this dream a reality. And we went through the application process and the local processes and the hang-ups and the different challenges. And I want to thank, again, Ray Royal, who's not here today, for his perseverance with getting a tower actually to come about. We had an extension to our deadline. A lot of details and a lot of challenges. We're blessed with a Christian radio engineer, Larry Wagner, who has been instrumental in saving time to put things together technically. But this is God's project, and it's his station. And it's up to him to make it happen after we do our part. And even though I got worried a few times, I could remind myself, it's God's project. And I might have seemed really worried, and I probably was more than I should have been. But it's kind of like the statement that says, if you knew you could not fail, what would you attempt to do for God? On February 9, a month and a half ago, whatever, on February 9, they put the tower up, did the broadcast test, and on Friday morning the 10th, the engineer in Washington, D.C., filed our application with the FCC. February 12 was our deadline. That was a Sunday. That was a weekend. The 10th was the last business day that we could have filed. We didn't have a day to spare, but we did have that done, successfully done. And I may not have it in here. I have a printed copy of the actual permit, broadcast license permit, that I was going to make you aware of. When that tower went up, I want to thank Wesley for taking pictures and sharing them with me so I could see what was going on when that was happening. It was nice to see the dream become a reality. And, wrong way. This is an example of what is expected to be the circle of coverage. And I know it's not easy to see, but our church is basically in the center. In technical terms, our tower is not in the center of this, but it's an illustration of it's used in our application. And this is a circle of where it should reach. And it's supposed to go about maybe 3 miles, right? You see what is not included? You see Mays, you see Valley Center, you see Eastboro, Wichita. Eastboro is just, you know, Douglas and down to Kellogg. And you have on the far right side there, you have Andover. This is going to be even better. I know we have reception because I've been hearing reports about it. I need to expand this more because we have a number of people who are hearing in other places. It is a stronger signal than I would expect with all the possible interferences from buildings and trees and other things. But we are covering the whole city with some exceptions, you know, when there's things in the way. I got it at 71st Street South in Seneca, and that's Hayesville. And I know it was heard in Augusta. Going through town, half the third light in Augusta. Augusta, there you go. The county line north, kind of scratchy. I can't get it on one of those little radios I got in my house. It's some kind of do with maybe a digital signal. I don't know, but the car works fine. This is reaching our whole city. This is far and above and beyond what we had hoped for. You know, and it's just a huge, huge blessing to know that. But, you know, this radio station isn't something for us to sit back and enjoy and say, well, yes, I can be comfortable. I can enjoy all this. There won't be things on there that aren't true. And I know all this, but I know it's going to all be true, even if I hear things that I know or I don't know. But it's not for us, is it? Yes, it's for us, but it's for us to share. It's to share with those who don't know Jesus, the Jesus that we know. There are people who are Christians, but do they know Jesus? There's an illustration Keith Wheeler has given. You may not know who he is, but he met a man in Guyana, and he shared the gospel with him, and this man wanted to become a Christian. He said, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm not a Christian just because I have this cross that I carry. And the man didn't know that, didn't know what the difference was. He said, let me put it to you this way. We've just met, didn't we? Yes. Okay, so if I go down the road this way and you go down the road that way, will you say you know me? No, we just met. People can meet Jesus, but do they know him? This gives us the opportunity to share so many things with people that will be repeated on the air that they will get to know the Jesus that we know and love. It's more than just having a intellectual knowledge, isn't it? It's more than that, I should say. That's our opportunity to do that. The programs that are on television are simulcast on the radio. Some of the things that are on there are at the same time. When the 2-hour program is on Thursday night, 8 o'clock, Central Time, and it repeats the other times. This is, I believe, last year. I don't think this is in advance. This would be last year, and Dr. Ben Carson was on. These programs are on there. This, I think, I didn't get to see it, but I think this was this week. It was on Thursday night, wasn't it? That's what it's telling. There was more on it, but this was something I was aware of was coming. And these are things that are done. They're people who come and present programs and are interviewed. And Three ABN provides a lot of things. There's a flyer that we have the opportunity to get from them, already printed. But if you can see on the screen across the bottom, there's room for information to be changed, and they will print that and provide that to us. First 1,000 free of charge, as a matter of fact, and very minimal on the rest, for our personal information, contact information for us, information about our church, and anything that we want to have that in the space that's allowed, we are allowed to do that. And I have a print of that, but you can see it. That's the flyer that we're able to get and we can use. How many of you can imagine the possibilities of what we have in front of us? You know, Danny Shelton has said before that that Jesus only told us to do two things. One of them is to come to the foot of the cross and surrender and commit our lives to Jesus. And then we're told to go and tell what Jesus has done for us. And that's why I say the blessing is on the go. It doesn't do us any good to know things if we don't go, if we don't do something with it. We have an early picture here of the radio studio many of you have not seen. We have been given the opportunity. Some of us took a picture the other night after prayer meeting. Someone that missed prayer meeting won't know this. We had a picture upstairs, actually two of them, which I sent to them. We are going to have a story, I'm not sure how much, and a picture about our station in the worldwide newsletter that 3ABN puts out every month. It'll be in the May issue. And that is something that I just learned on Wednesday, as a matter of fact. So she said, if you can get to me by the morning, she said, I can get it in May. So that's why we did that Wednesday night. Nikki Anderson, that runs the coordination of so many things. There's many things that we can do, and I believe that God will help us as we go forward and will supply every need. I also believe, and I'll borrow the phrase, that he has counted his resources and he's found that he's not wanting. He's not wanting. He's given us talents, he's given us time, and he's supplied those needs. Those needs are within us. He's given us funds to help keep it going. We have that. It's our choice of how to use that. Someone once said that if we aren't stepping out in faith, and if we aren't praying, God, give me a miracle, then when it happens, we won't recognize it as a miracle. And there may be some truth to that. There are things that we can do, that the parts that we have to play. And at this time, I would like to have the ushers, the deacons, follow through with something I mentioned earlier. In the front, I have a box that has some cards. This flat box over here. And if you will pass out a card to each person here, I want you to know this isn't for people that are over 18 or 21. This is for anyone who can read. And even some of you who have children that can't read, this is for you to take as well. There is a card that you will see here that is a pledge card, for lack of a better term for it. There's enough here for every single person to have one. If you've caught the vision, if you are thinking about, maybe you've caught the vision, this is an opportunity to say that you will help reach our community for Jesus Christ. Go ye therefore and make disciples and preach, teaching them to others, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. I'm leaving out some parts that weren't on there, aren't I? Matthew 28:19. This is our opportunity to say, yes, I will do this. This is my financial pledge for this calendar year, for 2017. And there's also a prayer pledge on there. That you have the opportunity to mark something that's already there, to circle a circle, an amount, and circle a time frame on there. Maybe this, and you can also write something in. If it's a one time, you can circle that, put the amount down below. If it's something other than each week, here's one that's a sample, each week and an amount. There's also a place for you to put your name. These will be completely confidential. The card is perforated so that you're able to tear off the stub off the side. You can bring them to me if you want to keep that confidential. There'll be one person in the back that will collect them, that will give them back to me. But when the time comes for that, and this is something that you can encourage each part of your family, of your home, and such as, for example, Nick has a three-year-old. This three-year-old doesn't have an income, but this three-year-old can be involved. Can't he? Brecken can circle the 5 cents each week or with help. He can become a part of this. No one should be left out. If there isn't total member involvement here, I don't know what this is. Okay. So you have the opportunity. I do not expect that all of you will say, oh, I can, whatever. This is a matter of prayer between you and the Lord, whatever you do. And if you choose to take it with you and turn it in next week, that is fine. I understand that. It's between you and the Lord what you would like to do. There's a number of options, different ways you could do this. If, like I said, every other week, someone gets paid every other week, not twice a month. There's different ways you could do things like that, wherever you want to do. But this is something for you. And then in the middle, on this part where you can see, it has a total amount. And that part you get to take home. You can clip it to your refrigerator magnetically or whatever you want to do. But this is something that I would encourage you to make a matter of prayer. And for just a moment, I'm going to have you go ahead and play that audio. This is the Mending Broken People Network that we're getting. And there's the Mending Broken People song. And there's a audio of Danny Shelton singing that song. It's not quite the same as in person, but it's still a very powerful song. While you're...
When I see my brother stumble and all his dreams crumble, let me be there for I to fail. And when I see his heart breaking from a wrong turn he's taking, let me be there, for I remember well. I want to spend my life mending broken people. I want to spend my life removing pain Lord, let my word heal a heart that hurts. I want to spend my life mending broken people.
Of time, we probably don't need to hear the whole song, but you get the idea of it like that. Now, I did promise you that I would have something put in your hands, and there's more than just the card that you have as a reminder. This is something that's important, that we take seriously our commitment to reach others, because we know that time is short. We really do. And there's another thing that you can do, and that might be to be aware, at least be aware at this point, that we have a projected budget that we would like to, if you can call it a budget, a goal. We will have something that you'll see going up the tower here as we go towards our goal as well, that you can tell how we're doing. But we have a goal of $25,000 because of the advertising we want to do to reach out, and also because at the very end of the project to complete it, we had higher than expected expenses. And at this point, I haven't seen the bill for the actual construction company that dug the hole and poured the concrete, so it hasn't been paid. And I just want you to know that money needs to come in for that. But there's a number of things that we want to do for it. And at this point, we have a bumper sticker. And if you can't see that big enough, I decided, no, I'm going to get the biggest thing I can, and I'll find words that you can see. And I had to invent a phrase. Someone is going to be very creative, and they're going to come up with something that's really good, and hopefully a logo. You saw the three trumpet logo for Adventist World Radio. But this is a bumper sticker. Now, this is not something you take and you clip on your refrigerator. If you're willing to put it on your car or truck, that's great. This is not for children to take and play with.
And make sure you behave in traffic.
There you go. That's right. So this is a dark blue. And I thought giving it the color would be good. We have some banners. I just went ahead and bought something that would work. There's inexpensive. There's a banner on the fence. There's two more going to go up on the signs. But someone will do more. But it will take a little more to do that. And we also have, this was for Anita. How many people see cars that have a sticker on the window that says 26.2 or 13.1? Okay, we're 101.7 FM, so we have, and this is to get people's attention in some ways. Now, what you're going to like is that this is one that sticks on the outside if you want to. This one will peel off and magnetically stick to the inside of your glass. There's some of each. We're very blessed by a mistake by the supplier who didn't make these this way, so these were free. I'm so blessed, but they got to let us keep them, and these came in Wednesday or Thursday. I just got these. So here's all three of them. I want you each to have these. You can take more than one. You know, you don't drive more than one at a time, but you're going to have more than one vehicle possibly, whatever. But if you know somebody that will display this is great, any of these. There's enough here for everybody to have one of these. There really is. There's more than that. We're not that full today. But this is something I don't want to be lightly taken and not used. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they did cost me. There's a car with one on the back. There you go. And there's one on the window. So there's what we're looking at. If someone is willing to do that, we have those for you, and they'll be, I guess we're going to do those down front, aren't we? But anyway, they're in the box down front. So feel free to, for the lack of traffic issues at the back door, come forward, and we'll make sure you have those. You can have those when you're ready to go. There's a lot of things that Christ asks us to do, and one of them is to surrender to Him, and He invites us to give that invitation to others. And I just pray that each one of you will see the vision of what we can do in our community with what this God's given us as an opportunity now for radio by itself. Radio itself doesn't seem very glamorous, but everybody can hear it if they drive and have a radio in their car. And it's a great opportunity to do something tangible. Don't let the opportunity pass us by that we've been given here. It's not just a few people. There's been a lot of people involved. And I'd like to see others really catch the vision and become more involved and be a bigger part of it. Thank you for your time. I'm sorry it went a little long, but at least it's not dark yet.